What's up, y'all? Welcome to our YouTube channel, Africans Talk Football. Appreciate your guys' continued support. Don't forget to like and subscribe. Thank you.
So welcome back to another episode of Africans Talk Football, where we bring you fresh soccer news highlighting the Africans and African-Americans who've seen success within the sport. We're also going to bring you some news from our favorite teams in the Premier League, as well as other top European leagues and worldwide news as well. Whether this is your first episode with us or if you've been with us for the jump, again, I just want to say thank you to all of our friends and supporters. My name's Cornelius. I'm joined by my boys and fellow co-hosts. Mike, how are you feeling tonight, man?
I'm feeling great, man. Top three on the table. Hey, can't complain. How about you, my boy, Mr. Arsenal?
I'm all right, man. How are you, Salon?
Can't complain, man. You know, 3 points. It's been a good weekend.
Yeah, I mean, you know, we mostly smiles all around, I'd say. So mostly smiles all around. But before we get into our teams, again, just want to highlight a few things. So we don't really talk about the MLS a lot, but figure that, you know, given the state of the MLS playoffs, we have to talk about it a little bit. Specifically, the teams that have already been bounced out of the first round. We have our home state teams, the Cincinnati and Columbus Crew. FC Cincinnati bounced out first round. Columbus Crew bounced out first round. Yeah. The current point winners of the MLS, most points this year in the league ever. Miami bounced out first round.
Yeah,
it's kind of wild, bro. Like, honestly, I expect the Columbus Crew to. I didn't necessarily expect them to two-peat, given that they're the current holders of the championship. But I expected them to go far, man. I mean, we've talked about this team on here a little bit. They're very, very good. You see what Messi and them boys were doing down in Inter Miami. You know, we call them mini Barcelona now that they have Suarez and Busquets. Bounced out first round. So it's like now you kind of have to look at the MLS like, oh, okay. So it is getting competitive to the point where anybody could get got. And, you know, their playoffs are over the course of three or, you know, home and away. And if it's tied, we go for a third leg. So it's very, very interesting. I don't know if you guys were able to watch the matches, but how do y'all feel? Like, does this say any – do you think that – it's getting that American soccer is now becoming to the point where we have to put it up there with one of those leagues that I'm not going to call it because, you know, let me rewind. You know, those lists come out every year of the strongest leagues in the world and the MLS is always right around like 9 or 10. Do you think it's time that we kind of look at it more of a serious league?
No.
I mean, it's a serious league, but is it top 10? I don't think it's top 10.
No, they usually sit at 10.
They gas them this year. I mean,
they're gassing them though. They're not a top 10 league. I think it's still a pretty competitive league, but top 10. I mean, and that's no disrespect to them. Just look at the other team. You know, I mean, just the Premier League, Serie A, La Liga, Bundesliga.
We know the top five. We know the top five. But I mean, okay, so we can go Turkey probably after that. We can go Portugal after that. We can go. I mean, we can look at some of these other
Belgium, the Belgium.
I'd even say the championship, to be honest, because the championship is like them teams are smacking the MLS. But
I'm just saying separate in terms of like country, but like.
I still think the championship level is higher than the MLS, personally, because you see MLS players go to championship teams, you know? You see them and that's a step up. That's a huge step up for some of
these
players. You look at Josh Sargent, you know what I'm saying? He's playing at Norwich, and he's balling in the championship, but when they were in the Prem, he was, you know, he was a tweener. So you look at – I look at players like that and say, okay, the championship is definitely a higher level than the MLS, but –
that's fair. That's fair. I'm just saying if you even just go outside of England, though, just look at the, you know, there's the Premier League and then shit, bro. Like Gabriel said, Belgium, I think Brazil. The Mexican League.
Mexican League, yeah.
I was going to bring that up next because now that
Saudi.
Saudi.
That would be interesting. That would be interesting to watch.
No, it is.
Who it is? It's better.
I don't. You think so?
Saudi.
There's some ballers in Saudi, bro. There's some ballers.
Yeah, but the you think the average Saudi player, the average MLS player?
This is the thing. Yeah. What Saudi team is coming to an MLS player and saying, "I'm gonna give you this bag to come over here"?
Only one happened. Zalarayan.
You're right.
Yeah, he was the only guy. But it's not happening, like you said. It's not a
regular thing.
Happening.
That's a fair point. I'll take that.
Not top 10. But I mean, in regards to the game, I'll speak in regards to Cincinnati. I mean, we lost some penalties. Shout out to our keeper, Roman Celentano. I mean, he did his part. We just, you know, didn't execute on our part. And the better team over three legs and over those penalties won. But it's tough because I felt like it's interesting. I feel like our championship window is now. So, you know, we got to see something in the next 2 years before I feel like the team really gets torn apart. Yeah. But I mean, yeah, Columbus too.
Yeah, I mean, we kind of got out the same way you guys went out. PKs. Schulte made some great saves, but eventually guys got to make their PKs and they just didn't make it. And like Cornelius was saying, this was one team, you know, I would have said at least semifinal. The whole season, they've been the best team in the MLS, like easily the best team. So I would have assumed, like just in terms of like the way the team is built, they were just built to win another championship. And they were in the final against Inter Miami for the Supporters' Shield. So they could have won that too.
Yep.
But I think Inter Miami getting eliminated is good for the league.
It is. I agree.
We've heard the favoritism, you know, conspiracy theorists talking about, you know, how their games usually, it feels like they get favored a lot by the refs. So I think, you know, Inter Miami leaving.
Let's not try to sugarcoat things. We know they get them superstar calls. It's messy.
They do.
This is messy, bro. We know how much money he's brought to the league. Let's not even try to sugarcoat that. We know he gets favorable calls. It's a superstar. All superstars get favorable calls. Let's call a spade a spade. That's what it is. So that's why I agree with you, Mike. It is good for the league because it shows you can still bring in money. You know, you can still, you know, buy the best players, but football has somehow football has parity where you might have more money than me, but we can still catch you.
You got to play the games, man. The games are played on the field. You know, you got to play the games. And that's what happens. You know, I mean, these guys are, you know, past their prime, but they're still, you know, pretty good, you know, team with the type of players they have. But it is what it is. I think it's good for the league.
Yeah, I mean, definitely disappointing. I feel like a lot of people expected them to go all the way, at least to get into the final. But no, I think Mike's right. I think it's good for the league. I think Atlanta did what they had to do. And, yeah, it'll be interesting. I think definitely next year I almost feel like they have to top what they did this year. You know, Supporter Shield again, break the record. And then go out on top. You know what I'm saying? I feel like
to play the whole year though.
Well, yeah, I mean he's you know, I don't even think he really needs to play the whole year. I just feel like he missed a lot of time this year. It was a busy year for him. From the summer to going into the season. But yeah, man. They definitely gotta get it next year. And I mean, he has to win a cup though, man. Because you look at all the big players that have come over here, like not that the, like yeah, not winning an MLS Cup is gonna tarnish his legacy, right? You know, Beckham came here and won. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. These guys, like, I just feel like you gotta win. So.
All right.
Yeah, that's. I feel like that's all fair, but I mean maybe it's just because we live here in the States, but I kind of started wanting to give the MLS some more respect. You know what I'm saying? Like. Because we do see good players, man. And Mike, I agree with you. The crew were very disappointing, man. With the addition, I mean, we've talked about the addition of Juwan Jones, the way he came and he just instantly started balling. Like, I looked at that team as a complete team. I was like, bro, they just added a superstar. And, like, this team is built to go, you know, at least in the semis, you know, just like you said, at least in the semis. So it's kind of sad to go to see, the, you know, some of these teams that we root for and some of these teams we look to see, you know, play. But at the end of the day, football is played on the pitch, just like you said. Uh-huh. So yeah, man. To switch over to the good old Premier League, before we get into our teams, we have to talk about Manchester City and Josep Guardiola Salah. First time in his career that he's had four L's in a row, which is first and foremost insane. Yeah. Which is crazy. As a manager, to never lose four in a row. I mean, everyone goes through ruts, but
yeah,
to not have four in a row is first and foremost like congratulations, but also congratulations to the four team who just smacked y'all up, because I think we've all been waiting for this. We all been waiting to see him get smacked up a little bit, like. Yeah. And it's good, and they're still in top four. So it's like, yeah, you gotta take it. Yeah, exactly. You gotta take it with a grain of salt, because it's like they're still able to be head and shoulders above a lot of these other teams. So, I mean, I don't know. How do y'all feel about City right now? And do you think, because we know that Rodri isn't there, we know Kevin isn't there, so we understand what they're going through. But do you think this is finally the year that we see City kind of tattered and not themselves?
Yeah, I mean, I think obviously it's easy to say this just because of what's been going on. But again, I feel like the landscape of the league is changing. City themselves, I mean, if you take everybody else out of it, City themselves are going through a lot right now. There's a lot of question marks and a lot of uncertainty surrounding a lot of things in regards to the club itself. So obviously that, you know, they're human, like that obviously could affect, you know, what goes on the pitch. But I mean, yeah, who knows? Is Pep going to stay here next year? That's a question mark. You know, all these charges, you know, that's a question mark. Me personally, I don't see Erling Haaland staying here for more than two more years. So again, with him, you know, you kind of have to keep him happy to make sure that he stays, because he could pick up and go too. I mean, he's at the prime of his career. So, I mean, yeah, there's a lot of uncertainty going on. Hopefully they get, you know, for them, they get some players in the transfer window, the January transfer window.
They need a massive January, bro. They ain't got no players right now.
I think just even a midfielder, bro. I think if they got a midfielder, defenders up in the middle, okay. I would say two midfielders would be okay.
They need two, yeah.
They need help.
Yeah. I agree with what you said. I would add this too. I personally think, you know, they're human. They're probably just burnt out. Cause I mean, hey, doing the treble, winning four in a row, they've won all these domestic trophies how many times? You know, it's I think they've gotten to the point where they've lost some inspiration. I just think that's what it is. Like, there's a human factor to all of this too. You know, for how well they've operated, they operate like a fucking machine. Like, it's just like clockwork. They get it done. They do it over and over again. At some point, man, I feel like all that pressure to keep, you know, that perfection, quote unquote, I think is probably getting to them. So it's another angle we can look at. You know, it can't, you know, Kevin came back, you know, I know they've had a lot of injuries, but maybe him also coming back this weekend could possibly help them moving forward, but we'll see. But I think we should also consider the fact that, hey, maybe these guys are getting, you know, burnt out.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. It's crazy, man. City, they've just been the most dominant team. So yeah. I feel like we all like to see them get beat up a little bit. But
Yeah,
man. I don't know. City's gonna city. And honestly, I know we didn't really plan on talking about this, but before we get into our teams, something Salam said made me think about this, because you say you don't think Haaland's gonna stay there another 2 years. we already see over in Madrid, Mbappe already having his little skirmishes early. Mm-hmm. That might happen quicker than we. You feel me? Because just last week we were talking about Madrid, and just last week we were talking about Haaland, and now you know we're seeing things kind of topsy turvy over there. And Haaland, you already are expecting. Do we see that move happening? Do we think Haaland to Madrid is imminent in the coming years?
I mean that move in itself, that would be tough, because then you would definitely. I mean, there's already question marks about Rodrigo. He's hurt now, but.
I even saw a rumor mill that said he might go to Liverpool, which would be – I would hate that for the league because that would be a nice fit, to be honest.
I mean, in regards to – I don't know if he'll go to Real Madrid per se, but I don't see him staying at City though, especially if
– But where else would he go? Because he's only going to the top five clubs in the world, bro.
I think he'd be a great replacement for Lewandowski. I think for him to team up with
– But y'all said he did – I literally said that. Y'all said he didn't fit at Barca.
No.
Y'all was talking about he doesn't fit the Barca style. And I was like.
No, but I mean.
Because
I mean,
my whole thing was Mbappe's already at Madrid. So if him and Mbappe cannot coexist at Madrid. That just won't happen. So that was my whole reason for does he go to Barca. But now the whole Madrid and Mbappe project, I'm not saying it's not working because it's only like been, 10, 11 games. But I'm saying. It's already some issues over there. Yeah. You feel me? So you're thinking Haaland leaves. Do we see Haaland to Madrid? But now you're saying Barca? Like,
no, I'm just saying, but Barca also don't play this tiki-taka like style anymore either. So I don't think that it's really I don't think that you really have to worry about that in that aspect. But I mean, Real Madrid, I just feel like there's a lot going on there. So I mean, he could, that's the thing. With them, you never know. They could get him. They could not. Yeah. But I just feel like a player of like that stature. I mean, there's a few teams that I don't know, bro. I just don't see City like being. I don't know. I think these charges, Pep leaving. I think there's something going on there. So I don't see him leaving. I don't see him. He's not gonna stick around for that. I don't think so.
Yeah.
Fair enough. I just what you said made me think, and I was just let me just see how y'all feel about that, because you're right. I don't think Haaland stays there forever. So where is his next move? That's a big question coming into the next couple of years. So
just food for thought. By the next World Cup, after the World Cup, he will be on a different team.
Yeah,
it's just a matter of
2 years.
Yeah. I get it. Stay here, stay where you're at.
And World Cup committee, if y'all listening. If you need people on the ground, we're here. African soft football. I'm putting it on wax. Let's put it out there in the air. You know what I'm saying? You gotta speak it to existence.
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
But yeah, man, let's get into the Prem, dog. Let's get into our teams, man. So gotta start with the game of the week, obviously. We all play today, which is cool. So
yeah.
Arsenal versus Chelsea. I'm going to keep it very short and sweet. I'll let Mike go, and then I'll let – timeout. First and foremost, this is super sidebar. My mom just texted me, have you seen Rise of the Shield Hero? One of my colleagues was talking about it. He's into animation. First of all, mom, that's an anime. That's like a Japanese anime. Yes, first and foremost, yes, I've seen Rise of the Shield Hero. It's actually one of my favorite animes, little sidebar. But that's so crazy. Mom, what? All right, anyway – text from mom at 10:10 p.m. on Sunday night. The real time, bro. I can't make this stuff up. Anyway, shout out moms. That was crazy. maybe I'll get my mom into anime. Who knows? Anyway, let's get into our squads, man. So, like I said, I'm gonna keep what I want to say very, very short and sweet, right? So the last five times we played Arsenal, 5-0. Arsenal, 2-2 draw on October 23rd in the Premier League. May 2nd, 2023, 3-1 Arsenal. November 6th, 2022, 1-0 Arsenal. July 23, 2022, 4-0 Arsenal. April 2nd, 2022, 4-2 Arsenal. Those are the last five times we've played Arsenal. for whatever reason, when they're in a slump, we just so happen to play Arsenal and they manage to find their way to beat us. Gabriel said this last week. He made it his GRG, and I just want to reiterate the fact. We haven't beaten Arsenal since August 22nd, 2021. Think about who our manager was. Think about who we were as a squad. Think about that same year we went on, or we were just coming off of our Champions League. That was the year we won our Champions League, summer, August 21st, 2020.
Oh, that was the Lukaku game. Ooh, thank you, Mike. That first game.
That was the last
time. So his dreams, man.
That was the last time we beat Arsenal Football Club. And today it was a draw. So that's all I really want to harp on the game, because we, like, I'll let Mike get into the analytics, but for me, it's a step in the right direction. And no, I agree. Say that because I did not feel comfortable going into this match at all. Last week, I said what I said because I had to say, son. But all week, I knew what this week was. I didn't care that it was at the Bridge. I didn't care who was going to be injured or who was going to be playing, because no matter what, it's a London derby. And Arsenal's had our number, and I'm going to put it on wax. These – I almost said a bad word. They've been smacking us up, bro. And today, Cole Palmer was shut down.
Yeah.
Some of our best guy, Nicholas Jackson, was silent. And our best player on the pitch outside of Caicedo was Pedro Neto, and I got to shout him out. Because not only was the goal phenomenal, but he was the workhorse, bro. He worked very hard, and he deserved the goal. Not often do I say someone deserves a goal, because no one deserves a goal. You got to take the goals. But that guy worked hard all 90 minutes, or all the minutes he was on the pitch, and he deserved the goal. That's it. That's all I got to say. It was a hard 1-1, and I watched the first half with our you know, friend of the pod. He's been on here before, Zion, the Manchester City fan. And I watched second half with Gabriel at a Arsenal bar where it was fucking Gabriel. I cannot make this shit up. I walk into the bar. Arsenal scores 3 minutes later. Everyone's like, "Thanks for coming." All the Arsenal fans shitting on me. We score, and I'm like, "Yeah, I'm here now." And you're going to hear my mouth for the rest of the time. We got 25 minutes left, and we're going to take this game. Everybody was quiet. And Gable can tell you, I was sitting right next to him. Took a bite of the freaking wrap. Thank you for the breakfast sandwich. Seriously, bro. Today was one of those matches where I was like, this was one of those 1-1 matches where I feel confident about my team, because in the days that our best players are silent, we finally managed to scrounge a measly point. And this is one point I'm cool with. I take this point any day of the week. That's all I gotta say, bro. Today was decent. It was a good showing from the boys, and I loved almost everything of what I saw. Besides Reece James coming on for 10 minutes at the end, we ain't gotta talk about that. But you know, almost everything I saw today, I was just like,
this
is the Chelsea team I grew up on, bro. This is the Chelsea team I grew up on, and I don't want to get too into it, but this team, man, it fills me with confidence. Mike, I don't know about you, but this team fills me with confidence, bro.
Nah. The boys showed out today. The boy, except for, you know, that one guy in the back, Sanchez. I mean, getting beat near post like that, embarrassing. But
and Levi Colwell too. He was a little shaky today, but whatever.
Yeah, he was a little shaky.
That's why I said I don't want to get too technical. You can get technical if you want to. I have a lot to talk about. We can talk about this game for the next 5 hours, dead ass. I was violently hungover, and I woke up for this game, and I was like, no, I'm ready. Like, I'm ready
to go. Yeah, I mean, it doesn't matter when we play Arsenal, man. Whether we're in good form, bad form, whatever it is. Somehow it's always a game. It's always a game. I mean, I can't say much about Caicedo. Best mid DM in the Premier League. We're not debating that. I don't think there's a debate. There's no debate. Please, there's no debate. I want to shout out my boy Basmati Rice too, man. He showed up today. I know he had a toe injury and all, but you know, he put in a shift. I was impressed. Knowing what I know all week and heard all week, he had a good game. I'll give him that. And another one though, Salam. I have a one of my boys told me to give you a message. His name is Enzo Fernandez. He asked me to tell you. Did you see his assist today? Oh, you didn't see. Yeah. No. You didn't see.
Assist?
Oh, okay. Okay,
Mike,
okay.
That wasn't an assist. He literally passed to him. Okay. He literally laid the ball off. I made the same pass today.
My two-year-old. We don't make the rules.
He just told me to send you the message. He told me to let you know.
I think the fact that he didn't get the assist.
He came off the bench.
We don't make the rules. Go ahead.
I'm just sending you.
Imagine a captain coming off the bench, the sixth man. The captain is the sixth man. But go ahead.
Come on. I mean, I think overall, though, great performance. You know, Madueke, like you said in the group chat, he needs to be more productive. I think he's in his head right now. I can tell he's in his head. He feels like every time he touches the ball, he has to do something. No, just keep it simple. It's going to come to you. He's trying too hard. He just needs to relax.
It was just like Jackson last year. You know what I'm saying? We know the player you are. You just got to relax a little bit.
But I kind of like it. I can tell he's feeling the pressure. He's definitely feeling the pressure, which is good.
Which I love. No, I agree.
Yeah, exactly. I like it. But
he understands. He sorry to cut you off, but he understands that he was blessed to get.
Exactly.
He was blessed enough to be on the team last year where everything was jumbled and no one had a starting spot, so everyone was kind of fighting for it, and he earned his spot. But now he understands. Because last year they didn't really understand. No. Mike, this is what we've been talking about, and sorry to cut you off, but all we've been asking for is for the Chelsea identity to come back. And this Maresca fella understands what Chelsea blue means. The players are now understanding the situation they're in because we're top four, we're playing at a high level, and they're like, oh shit, like there's expectations now.
Exactly.
Last year they didn't know what a Chelsea blue was. This year,
exactly.
That motherfucker made them look at the crest every single day before they leave. And as soon as they enter, because they are understating the weight of the badge, and that's all we've asked.
That's literally all you ask. Just play for the badge. You know what kind of team you're on. Like, and I think he's feeling it. He's definitely feeling the pressure, and I love it because you know it will push him to do more. But also pressure in gameplay, you gotta keep it simple. I mean, with all that being said, the only complaints I have is fucking Sanchez, man. I'm getting to the point where it's like, yes, our back line is bad, but I don't think they do a good job for the most part. They have lapses where it's just poor defending. But the last man at the back, at least I got to be able to trust you to stop something. Oh, come on. Martinelli? Oh, if it was anybody, I'd be cool with it. Martinelli?
Shout out to Martinelli because for you to be going, the people are saying he's going through a slump. For that to be your goal that you score, shout out to him, bro. But shout out to Sanchez, man, because that was terrible.
Bro, I don't want to talk about it. And you know what's crazy? The save that he made. That actually was the best save of the match because it was accidental. You know, the one that kind of Bro, I was in the bar and I looked around and I was like literally my heart dropped because I thought they scored and I'm like, everyone looked at me and I was just like, I have no.
It was by accident.
I was like, yo, I was like, I thought that was the match. I literally said I thought that was the match.
Yeah, bro, go ahead.
It's so frustrating. Yeah, G, get your
I don't have too much to say. All I have to say is the league is done. That's it. The league is done.
The league is done for who? Simple.
Arsenal is done.
Okay.
Finished. Finito. Done. Not even a question about it. It's done. Simply not good enough. It is what it is. I'm like I said. I'm disgusted with this team. Disgusted with everything going on. We're not getting out of this. We said we're in this top three race. It's a top two race. City's off of it. Liverpool's emerging. Yeah, we can fight back and get points, blah, blah, blah. But we're in this tier of just nonsense right now. Bro.
who was your best player today, in your opinion?
Ben White. Ben White was our best player today. Everyone else was quiet. I mean, God, I know guys are injured, guy coming off injury, but Real simply not good enough for this. Even like the goal that Pedro Neto scored, one, I've been saying this since Wolves, Pedro Neto is always goal and assist against us. Whenever you play Arsenal, just bet it.
Yeah.
It's guaranteed. But to see the goal and to see just literally no one step.
It happened
first half with Cole Palmer. No, Partey didn't step. Cole Palmer had a free shot, almost scored. Mm-hmm. So obviously they feel like they can, you know, shoot from long range and feel comfortable. Same thing. Pedro Neto cuts in with his left foot.
It's a great point.
Not a soul steps.
No, that's a good point, Gabriel. Because Timber, it took for Timber to come from where he was. To even try and make an attempt on the attempt.
It's disgusting. That's crazy. And these are things as a club that wants to win trophies, completely unacceptable. Everyone knows if someone's on their favorite foot, if someone's dribbling in the middle of the box, you step. It's just that simple. I don't understand what they don't understand about that. It's that simple. So if you want to be a championship winning team, we have to do these things, the little things. And this is a little thing that we neglected to do, not only in the first half, but in the second half too. Man, this is done, bro. It's done. No, I'll tell you, it's done. The league is done. So we have Carabao, we have FA, we have Champions League. And we just lost in Champions League too. So,
you can skate Champions League because there's a wider range.
Yeah, but at the same time, we bought players to reinforce our back line. This is the worst back line than last year. Simple. We've gotten scored on way more than last year already.
Free Zinny.
We have 12 goals. We have
12 free Zinny
in 12 matches, 11 matches. We weren't even close to that last year. So no, I
have a question for you. What do you think it is? Because I feel like you guys should be better. I actually can't put a finger on what
fatigue,
is going on
with bro, fatigue. Right now. They've been high level. We talked about it. They've been high level for 2 years. They're tired.
Fatigue. I personally think this is a mixture of injuries. I also think this is a decision of – I think this is injuries mixed with poor managerial decisions. And also poor managerial decisions and also poor individual mistakes. Listen, three times this season we played with 10 men. One against Manchester City, the other two against bottom tier teams, and we didn't get a result in any of them. And even for 10 men against a Bournemouth or forgot even the other team,
we should be getting a result. And somebody else.
We should be getting a result. I'm sorry, we should be getting a result. Okay, we haven't shown that we're not good enough. It's that simple. We're not. So what? I have zero faith in this team.
Is this something you think you guys can fix in January, though?
Bro,
they should have.
Come on, this is my thing, man. This should have been fixed last summer. It should have been fixed last summer. We there's a striker out there scoring 3 goals a game for fun, and we're sitting here with our hand over our mouth. Don't want to speak. Yo, I'm done with this team, man. I'm over it. I'm over it. This is ridiculous. This is ridiculous, bro. How many millions of dollars? How many this and that? How much invested in this and that? And this is what we look like? Yeah, the league is done. We have Champions League to look forward to. We just lost there too, so I don't even know how this is going to look, but we have that to look forward to. But the league, until further notice, until other teams drop matches, and it's done, bro. It's done. We're in a class with Brighton and Nottingham Forest is above us on the table right now. Are you joking?
Nah, they're not.
They're above everybody, though. You can't do that.
Nah.
Are you joking?
You guys above are all of our teams, at least.
You guys are top four.
Oh, I'm sorry. But we're on what
we're tied
on points with Nottingham Forest.
Nottingham Forest. If the league ended today, they would not be in Champions
League. Nottingham Forest. We're tied on points with Nottingham Forest. Bro, are we tied on points with Fulham?
Oh no, they are fourth. They are fourth. Right. I apologize.
We're close to Fulham's on. Fulham just won. They're on 18 points. I think we're on 19.
Yeah.
With Fulham.
But we was just talking about this though. The league from third place all the way down to Manchester United in 13th place.
I don't care about none. I don't care about none of that.
Yeah, because at the end of the day, it's about
the end of the day. My team is on 19 points after 11 matches, which is disgusting. At the end of the day, and injuries, nothing can change that. And I don't care about injuries. I don't care about any of that because at the end of the day, every team deals with this. City's dealt with this over the past couple of years. They got results. So what excuse? I'm done making excuses for this team, bro. I'm done. I'm over it. I'm not making excuses for this team. Every Arsenal fan can say, I'm done making excuses, bro. I'm simply done. I'm done making excuses. I'm not a delusional fan, bro. I'm not a delusional fan. I call it how I see it. I see it from thousands of miles away. If you guys can't see it, then I don't know what to tell you. But if you still think the league is done right now. It's finished. Champions League, we just lost there too. Looks finished. Not that Champions League doesn't look finished, but how can I say we're going to go win the Champions League with the highest honor in club football and we look like this at home? No. So we have an FA and a Carabao to compete with? Listen, bro, I'm not a delusional fan. This is not good enough. I'm sick of it. I'm over it. And fix it. It's that simple.
Before you ask your question, Mike, because I think I know what it's going to be, I just wanted to say this and just kind of expand on a point that he had said. Like, they do have a lot of injuries right now. And I feel like this is just my opinion. I feel like you really have to look at Arteta. Because obviously the past 2 weeks, obviously the news came out too with Edu leaving. And, you know, obviously, like, we know what we see and, like, what they say happened or was happening. But it sounds like there was some power struggles in terms of, like, decisions that were being made in terms of recruitment. And then when you look at, for me, you know, the mismanagement of players like Wanyeri, for example. You have an Odegaard who's been hurt for a while. I mean, he's been playing damn near every game. You have to give Saka credit for even – people make these jokes about him, but we have to give him credit. Like, he plays. He shows up. He's available. Even when he's not 100%, he's still available. But it's like, again, if we had just made better decisions in terms of recruitment, you know, we could have a little bit of trust in some of these other players because some of these guys that are being in, like, we don't see them. You know what I'm saying? We brought in this player. We brought in that player. But this player is still having to play. So, I really think you have to look at Arteta.
Yeah,
Managing the squad, two, for going into the season. If really, you know, it's true about, like, you wanted some of the players that I guess Edu wanted, because it sounded like Edu wanted to go get an attacker, maybe a few, instead of getting another defender. You know what I'm saying? So I don't know, man. I feel like you really got to look at Arteta. I'm really looking closely at Arteta this year.
100%. This is your dealers. I've been talking about the mismanagement since the beginning of the season. I've been talking about Wanyeri since week two, week three.
We went to New York. Because then I was just kind of like, why? Okay. Mm-hmm. Why is he not playing?
We've seen Partey at right back how many times this season? For what?
Yeah, bro.
For what? You're telling me we're not Ben White's available.
Yeah. We talked about this last week.
Come on, bro. This is
Gabriel talked about this last week.
I'm tired of seeing this nonsense. You want decisions? These decisions are the decisions that get you fired. No joke. Yeah. On top of not getting silverware, these are the decisions that we're gonna come back to and say, but this is the guy that played. No, he did all these great things, but this is the guy that played a DM at right back.
Yeah. You know, if this wasn't his team, I would understand, but this is the team you built.
This is the team you built.
It's confusing to me why
that part
you would rather not put a defender in there and you'd be like, you know what? I'd rather put Partey at right back. In today's league, right back, it's not an easy position to play. I mean, y'all know how I feel about Partey, but still, right back, come on. And to me, this is the last thing I'll ask you. So how long do you think, or do you think it's realistic to get rid of Arteta if this these inconsistencies continue throughout the season?
They're not gonna
get it's realistic?
They're not gonna get rid of him this year. If anything, they'll get rid of him next year, but like they're not gonna get rid of him anytime soon, bro. They give him an extension, bro. It's not happening anytime soon.
They've committed to him.
Are
you comfortable?
Yeah, I think he's in there.
In his tenure, I know everything is very tense right now because they've had such good success in the last 2 years that everyone feels this is their time. And if they, you know what I'm saying? But I am of the I've always been that it takes time, dude. Just because you have one bad year in five or four, however long he's been there, doesn't mean that it's time to just throw it away and start. Like, for what, bro?
Yeah, Cornelius, yeah, but look at the process of where we are, bro. This year, the first 2 years, okay. The first year, when all this happened, we were like, okay, wow, this was crazy. The second year, it was like, let's build upon this. We still came up short, but we still built on, we looked better than we did the year before. Now this year, bro, we needed a striker. We needed maybe another create a 10.
This is this guy being stubborn, man. I agree with all your points, bro. But you think it's ready to just say, you've had your chance, that's it.
Yes, because you're saying give him time. Give him time is when Aubameyang was still there. Give him time is when he is when Xhaka was there.
It was every
now?
Team.
Yeah. Now?
Come on, bro.
This is this guy being stubborn, man.
This guy is so stubborn. Oh, I brought Gabriel Jesus in. He's going to be our nine. We told him he's going to be our nine. He'll be our nine. He was our nine. Where is he now? He's on the bench. Oh, Kai Havertz, we brought him in. We want to support him. He'll be our nine. He's not going to.
You don't even have a nine on the team.
Where has that gotten us? Where are these stubborn decisions gotten us, bro? Where? Tell me where.
There's no nine on the team, Cornelius.
Hey, I'm not
going to
lie.
They've gotten us fifth on the table, bro. They've gotten us fifth on the table so far. They've gotten us behind a Chelsea team that we should be excelling above right now. As simple as that, based on our progression. Yeah. Simple.
That part.
So you want to sit here and say, oh, bro, yeah, I support this manager, but you have to look at decisions, bro. Just like how Salam looked at Ten Hag, and he's like, some of these decisions make zero sense. Some of these things make no sense. I don't get sometimes what you do.
Yeah.
Past weeks, I don't understand why you've made certain decisions. I don't understand why Partey is playing the right back. I don't understand why Ethan Waniri hasn't been introduced to the team, but you've been gassing him for how long? You've been putting him in the first team. You've been doing this. You've been doing that. But you won't give him any prem time. For what? If he's good enough, he can play.
Yeah,
it's simple. But these decisions are the ones that come back to bite us. Simple as that. And these are not only – these are pivotal decisions. These are pivotal decisions to our team. And you neglect to make them. So – bro, I'm looking at you. I'm looking at my manager, and I'm saying, you're not managing us correctly.
Looking at Smith Rowe, how he's playing now, do you think it was a good decision to get rid of him?
No. I'm still fine with Smith Rowe leaving. Listen, some players need to leave to go flourish. Simple as that. I don't think Smith Rowe would have. I mean, he probably would have helped us. When Odegaard was hurt, 100%, you know, give him a run of games. But I think Alonso Smith Rowe is doing a lot for him. So I'm happy where he's at. You know, it is what it is. Okay.
You're happy with the decision of him leaving?
I'm not happy that a Hale Lind graduate left, but I understand what had to be done. He wasn't performing at where we needed to be. But for me, if we're letting Smith Rowe go, the Hale Lind graduate. We've seen what he can do. Don't get it twisted. Smith Rowe had, 10, close to 15, 16 GA one season when he was starting. Yeah. So, you know, we've seen it be done. We see a player in Nwaneri. Why isn't he given an opportunity? Like, I just don't get it. Now we want to. There's reports. Oh, we want to give him a new contract because he's been playing well. Yeah, Come on, bro.
That man is next.
This is poor managerial decisions, and you can make so many good decisions in your career and whatever the case may be. And so I'll end on. But at the end of the day, it comes down to margins, not only in the match but outside of the match. It comes down to margins. Can I go get this player? Will this player come to my team? Because this player might change the whole trajectory of my team. Will this player? Can I get this player firing on my team? Whether it's a Jesus, whether it's a Nwaneri, whether it's a whoever it is, can I get this player firing within the team? Can you do these things? These are the margins that we talk about in and off the field. He's marginally terrible. From my point of view, terrible. We had the opportunity to go get one of the best strikers in the world. Currently, we had the opportunity to go get him for $65 to $80 million last year. What do we do? We bought a defender. and what do we look like worse this year? Defensively, we look worse.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
these are the marginal decisions that either make or break teams, that make championship teams or won't make you a championship team, that win matches, that don't win matches. If we had a 9 today, do I think we win? Absolutely.
Yeah. Are you
joking? Yeah. Are you joking?
Play the game.
Trossard, like, as I was saying, I don't even have to talk about the match. I don't even care about the match. Like, I don't. I look at my team and I'm just, what am I supposed to be happy about? What Arsenal fans really supposed to sit here and tell me, oh, but it's bro, how many years have I heard progress? How many years have I heard it's coming?
No,
it's coming. Okay, you're gonna continue to say this until you're gonna sit there and just daydream all day. We're gonna sit here and daydream. I'm not a delusional fan, bro. I'm not delusional. I call how I see it. It's not good enough. The manager is not good enough right now. So be better.
One more thing, and I also think the reason why it's hard for Arsenal fans to just accept, this progress, ideology or whatever this season is, because they're looking at a team like Chelsea that haven't been good for almost 2 years, and it's almost like
we haven't been good since we won the Champions League.
We shouldn't be competing with Arsenal. Let's be for real. But they said it on the broadcast. There's been three teams that have beaten Chelsea in the last 25 games: Arsenal, Liverpool, City. Three teams.
Bro, I started off with listing our last, and we're gonna end it here. I started off with listing our last five matches against Arsenal. We've been smacked up. When they're in a rut, they find a way to play us and they beat us up. And they've been calling us little bro for the last 2.5-3 years, literally. So when we drew today, and I even texted it to, my college friends, we have a group chat, and I said, bro, whoever scores first in this match is going to win. Whoever scores first is going to win. And somehow we managed to scrape a point, bro. Yeah. And so for me, today was very telling of where we both are. We're sitting on the same amount of points, but it's looking different for the state of our clubs right now, for real. And I just
want to go south for you guys very quick, though.
It could, but I don't think it will.
Trying to humble us, man.
I'm being extremely humble because, again, Newcastle just smacked us and we're out of a cup competition. So let's not forget. I know who we are, but at the end of the day, our identity is coming back. The identity is coming back.
Y'all gonna win the conference league.
We should.
Y'all gonna win the conference.
Knock on wood. We should. Yeah, but
you're gonna be salty when you get to the semis and you don't have Cole Palmer.
To get off Arsenal and to get off and before we get to Manchester United, Salam just happy because his team's winning and he's on a new manager almost.
He hasn't felt like this in a while.
Yeah, bro. No. This guy, they do this every year. Salam has a little spurt where they're good. or they get a new manager bounce, the team starts playing well, we know where they'll end up below us, which is the point at the end of the day. But anyway, before we get to your team, bro, Gabriel said something that made me think about Liverpool. And I know I don't want to talk about Liverpool for too long because we got to get to United. But do we think they win the league this year? Like I know it's a little early to tell, and I know winter is coming, but based on what we've seen and based on what City looks like and the rest of the league looks like, do we think Liverpool has a league?
I think
I just want to hear your honest opinion because I think they do personally. As long as they stay healthy, I think they have the league.
Liverpool can only lose the league at this point.
Yeah, I agree.
Okay. As long as we're all on the same page, because I wanted to put that out there. I feel that the exact same way.
I still don't think that they'll win, though.
I think it's
Salam, you can't play both sides, bro. Don't do that.
No, I was just answering your question.
You always the championship is coming to Manchester. No, say it's coming to City. It's not coming to you. It's in your city, and you can only look from outside. Can't even get it in the club. So I don't like you playing both sides. Cornelius, I don't like you playing. You do this a lot, and I didn't mean to put it on wax, but you do this a lot.
You're in the conference
league.
Okay.
One little FA Cup, and now you're talking this big again. That's
crazy. You guys. Nah, man. You guys.
You see? Yeah.
I don't want to say. You guys are in the conference league. Okay. Shout out to all my conference league teams. Shout out to all your hard work for getting there. Shout out. Yo, and Chelsea is your
team. Oh, okay? Man.
You know what I'm saying? Who you played against? Who? Logan? Noah, I'm sorry, Noah. Man, let me talk about my team.
You've been waiting to get this off all day.
FC Noah. Okay, great. Shout out to Noah, man. Noah's Ark, you know, all of them, man. I would say the first place I would want to start is Ruud van Nistelrooy. Just want to give him credit, thank him for his services, but now you can leave because.
Damn, you want him to leave? That's
crazy. Yeah.
Not necessarily, but like I know that he wants to manage, so I think that I think that this was a good audition for him, and most importantly, I mean, it really just comes down to if Amorim wants to keep him on the staff or not.
Last week you said you would love for him to stay there. So
I would love for him to stay there. Just off of the nostalgia. I mean, like, obviously he has the respect of the players, so I think that that's important. But I do know that he wants to manage. So, you know, I think that this could serve as a good audition for him. But you got to give him credit. I mean, the Chelsea game was going to be tough, but, you know, we got 4 points from 6 in the Prem. I mean, he kept us in the Carabao Cup. We got a win there. He kept us in the Europa League. So, again, when you look at, you know, the grand scheme of, like, the league, you know, that this was a pretty big week for us when he was in charge. So, massive shout-out to him. Definitely want to shout-out Ugarte as well, too. I feel like he's looking a lot better. I think that today was probably his best game. But, I mean, I think he's had a good week. I think that him and Casemiro in a double pivot is actually a good combo. And I think that we look better in the midfield. What'd you say?
No, nothing. Go ahead.
Okay. Again, I didn't say anything on yours. I didn't say anything.
I'm sorry.
I just think that they complement well each other. And most importantly, I think that we look better as a team when there's two defensive mids there as opposed to one. Because we don't look so, you know, isolated so many times in transition. But I thought that he'll continue to look better, especially with Amorim coming. Again, I felt like he was the one that got the best out of him. He was the one that got him the move to PSG. So I'm looking forward to seeing that. And then for me, I mean, shout out to the African players, man. Mazraoui and Ahmad. In my opinion, our best players, 100%. I mean, no one will say it, but I'll say it. I think Mazraoui, for getting him for 12 million,
finesse.
You know, you talk about great business.
And it's crazy because it was crazy, and not to talk bad about Carey, but I thought he was nuts when he said Mazzarri was like, it's like so. He was like, we didn't need to buy Mazzarri. And I'm like,
was it Carey? I think it was Saba. Shout out my brother.
Was it Saba? Okay, my bad, Carey. My bad, Carey.
I kept it. Saba, I hope you're watching.
Was it Saba? Yeah. Was it Saba? He was like, yeah, Mazzarri. I was like, no, Mazzarri is good, bro.
That's what I said.
He didn't think they needed another right back.
But I love him there because he's a good player.
He's good.
We didn't need him because we have Delo. and Delo, yeah. But I mean, yeah, shout out to him, man. He's been a big bargain. And then Ahmad too, man. I felt like Ahmad has been our best attacker. I've said it all season. In preseason, he's shown that in the games. I feel like every game that he's played in a United shirt, for the most part, like he shows glimpses on why he should play consistently, and he delivers. So hopefully under the new manager, he can continue to get a run of games because, again, he's been balling, man. And he's, you know, given us an answer to that right-hand side. And as far as the left goes, Garnacho scored a worldie today. Good for him. And then Bruno got his two goals. So Bruno, I guess, is his 250th appearance today. So it's interesting with Bruno, man. I'm really hoping that, you know, Amorim can get the best out of him because we have a lot invested in him. And we, you know, between him and Rashford, I just feel like we have to make one of these, you know, big contract guys work. Ideally, we make both of them work. But from what I've seen so far, I think Bruno has a better chance of, like, you know, being productive straight away in Amorim's system, because Rashford, I don't know, bro. He looks different, man. I think we were talking about this in New York, to Josh. Shout out to Josh. But like, I don't know, bro. Ever since like his back injury, I just feel like he doesn't take on players. If you see him a lot this season, he's just like whipping in crosses. Which is fine. Like, he has a great technique on his when he strikes the ball, but it's like, you're not trying to beat a man. You're not dropping the shoulder. You're not trying to, you know, like, he used to, like, really try to get, like, shots off. And it's just kind of like that initiative. I don't know if it's just low on confidence, but I don't know, man. We got to get our big money guys, like, you know, firing. And, you know, hopefully this new guy can do that. But I don't know. I think he still has a place in the team. I don't know what that looks like under this new regime.
Yeah, I was going to ask you actually a question. Who are you most excited to see? And I guess you kind of answered that with Ahmad, you know, under the new manager. And who do you think might go by the wayside, you know?
I mean, there's a few players straight away I think are going to benefit right away. I think Ugarte. I think Ahmad. Our center backs have been pretty steady. I think Lissandro De Ligt will be fine. I think when Euro comes back, that'll be the back three. I think Delo will be fine because, you know, he had that balance as like a defender attacker. I mean, the only one that really stands out to me is, I mean, kind of Rashford, because it's like you're not you don't really have the work rate to play as like, I don't know, like to play on the outside. You know, you're it's also not going to work as a 10. You're not really a striker, you know what I'm saying? So, like, I don't know.
You don't think you work as a 10?
No. I think Rashford is best when he has, I mean, Rashford when he's on his shit is like, he's good when he has space in behind. On the left side, he can cut in on his right foot. I think that's the best, but even in that position, it's like Garnacho looks a little bit better than you, but I don't know. He's the only one that really kind of, I don't know. Maybe Eriksen. I feel like he's going to want someone with energy there. Eriksen, I don't see you. Casemiro, I could see it working for this season, and then, you know, we find another spot there. But, yeah. And then Mainu hopefully gets to play a little bit closer to goal. That's where he thrives, instead of doing the nonsense running because we can't keep the ball. But it's really not. I mean, Rashford again. Bruno and It's a make or break.
You think so? Really? Even though they're both.
I mean, he likes to keep. He's a possession based coach, and it's like Bruno. The one thing that Bruno has shown consistently, he doesn't like to keep possession of the ball.
He likes to. Interesting.
So, no, I mean, again, what he does long term to see out the season is one thing. What his vision is long, short term. I'm sorry, is one thing, but his vision long term is also another. So, I'm interested to see. When we come back from the international break, hopefully not too many people go and they can get some rest. But yeah, man, it's I feel like the start of our season will start when we get back.
Yeah, I'm interested to see who he gets in January, or like the type of players he goes after, or who he favors, and who, you know,
good point.
Who he benches. I'm very interested to see that.
Yeah. Yeah, everybody will sort itself out. This is the most calm I feel like I felt with a new manager coming in, I think, ever. Probably since Joe. Mm-hmm. Because I know that, like, this is their guy. They have no attachments to any of these players.
The Portuguese.
Portuguese. He's been well, man, too. You got to give him credit. Shout out to him and leaving Sporting in a pretty good position. I mean,
So, yeah, absolutely.
I think we got the right guy in charge. So we just got to give him time.
I respect it. Yeah. I mean, y'all seem to be on the new manager bounce, clearly playing for something
already.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, we'll see. We need some structure, man, and someone that can manage the team. But
yeah.
Shit, how did Gabriel, how did we do on lock of the week?
Locks 204. My lock hit. So long. I didn't hit.
Mine was two for over 2.5 goals.
Yeah. So after 4-0 week, 2-0. So or 2-2. So 2-2.
You would have broke even with us?
Broke even.
Yeah.
Cornelius, what was yours?
What did I say? I said Liverpool beat Ipswich, I believe.
Liverpool?
Liverpool. Tottenham.
Yeah. You picked Tottenham?
Oh, yeah, it was Moneyline.
It was just win. You know, look.
I trust them.
Look.
You picked Tottenham. That's on you, man. That's on you, man.
That is on me. I literally texted Gabriel. I was like, Tottenham at home. I told him earlier, I was like, Tottenham at home. They should be straight.
He's like, Johnson.
See, that's on me though. You know, that's on me.
Cool, man. All right, man. Well, let's get
any shout outs.
Yeah, shout outs. Yeah, man. Shout out to Ruud van Nistelrooy. Shout out to Ahmad Diallo. Yeah, that's all I got.
None for me. No. I want to talk football right now.
Shout out Jude Bellingham getting his first goal of the season.
Yeah, finally. Yeah.
And then also, shout out Pedro Neto, man. He showed me something. Big boy. He actually showed me something today.
Yeah, shout out Neto. Neto is cooking today, man. Yeah. And shout out, what's his name, Kukurea. Okay. He had the boy like this. He had the boy like this. The star boy. He had him like this.
Yeah, I got one too. I forgot. Shout out Jao Pedro, man. You were going to score. I should have put it in, but yeah, man.
City,
yeah, man. Yeah. But predictions, man. Well, international break.
Yeah.
Maybe we'll come back before then.
Yeah.
This is so
annoying. It'd be a week, but I'd be like, bro, what am I supposed to do, bro?
Yeah, man. You don't know what to do with yourself on like Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and then the games start. Yeah, it's like.
Yeah.
Half of these international games are useless. You're just like, what are we doing?
And they don't even really want to play. Like, I just feel like the quality of the game is like, I don't know, bro. I used to be excited for international games. Now I'm like,
I never was excited for international break. I'm like, bro, I want to watch Chelsea.
Bro, that like that feeling is like gone though, man. Like that's
gone.
Like,
it's really gone.
You know what I'm saying? I used to look forward to like, oh my god, it was such a like.
I care for the tournaments themselves, but the individual games, I don't care for.
Bro, even back then, you didn't care for the games. You didn't care. Bro,
because for me, look, Liberia not playing, America not watching it. So when I was young, I'm like, Liberia not at America, not watching it. So for me, I was just trying to watch Chelsea, bro. Seriously, I was only trying to watch Chelsea. As I grew older, I started to appreciate the international tournaments more. But even like Euros and Copa America, as a kid, I really wasn't like super World Cup. Yes. Don't get me wrong, but like the other ones, I was like, whatever, cool. Like I'm gonna watch, but
bro, you never, bro. I used to like always like love like say, I don't know, bro. Like you're following a team, you're following like a player, like they're doing well, and then like they get their first opportunity to play on the national team. Like that's bro.
Again, as a kid, I did not, bro. I'm not
gonna like. Do you remember T.O. Walker? From Arsenal going to playing for England, like do you remember, like that was like,
bro, I don't give a fuck about Theo Walcott because he plays for Arsenal. I'm trying to tell you, I really had to mature into appreciating world football.
Yeah,
because when I was a kid, it was the Cavs, it was Chelsea, and that's about it. I rooted for the Indians and the Browns because they're from Cleveland, but I was really stubborn, bro. I rooted for my squads, and that was it. Like now, you know, like I appreciate all of that in its entirety, but as a kid, no, bro. It wasn't until maybe like high school, seriously, for me. Yeah, I'm not talking about anybody. I'm just saying for me. Probably wasn't until like high school where I was really like, oh, let me watch Copa America. Let me watch these other, like seriously, bro. I wasn't some like
of that. My first memories is watching international games. France 98 is the one that I feel like I remember. Like I remember the
final. Yeah, I'm saying World Cup. Yes, for sure.
But like, I feel like after that, I got into it because of, you know, the drama that always comes with it. The y'all remember that one year with France and the handball?
Yeah.
Yes. Of course.
Like, that was around that time when I was like really getting into like international football.
Yeah. Yeah. Luis Suarez biting.
That guy.
So, I still can't believe it. He really tried to bite Chiellini.
Also, before you end this along, for anybody still watching, shout out to y'all get a little sneak peek. You know what's going to be the intro for our weekend recaps? It's going to be I'm going to find it on the web because I know it's out there, a picture of Mr. Kai Havertz with the bloody, you know what I'm saying? You know how they had a picture of him bloody? As soon as I saw that, I said, that picture is a banger. I need that. Yeah. That picture is going to be a banger.
We're going to have to talk about that one. We need to make sure that it's PG.
No, it's cool. I mean, I think it's a perfect culmination of the weekend.
Yeah. You on your top, what is it? Tables, ladders, and chair. WWE. That's what you're on, Cornelius.
Nah, extreme rules. Was it not a battle today, though? I'm telling you, I was nervous. Yeah. I haven't been nervous for Chelsea in a long time because I've been so apathetic. I'm like, look, this team is what this team is. But today, I was like, I was
scored, I was like,
I dapped up every Chelsea. I dapped up every Chelsea player in that Arsenal bar. They all looked at me.
I can imagine. Crazy. I already know how you were. I already know. You were in Golo Kante in there. Work right.
Oh God.
On 10.
Oh God. Box to box. Box to box. I was going from bar to bar. You know.
Yeah. All right, Joe. Appreciate it, everybody, for tuning in. And as always, good luck.